coming up next in this episode.
After all the years of looking outside of myself for healing, I missed something fundamental, that the healing was in here. I just needed to connect with it. It wasn't like I was learning something new. I just had to remember. And that's when I was like, what is this form of movement? What is it about the body that I don't understand? And are there other people out there like me that have been dismissed? And what if I could help them?
Thank you for joining The Flow. And thank you for being in The Flow. And welcome to my show, The Flow.
Thank you. Let's impact the heck out of your community.
I look forward to it. So, as you all know, I love to talk about things that make people uncomfortable, number one. And number two, I love things that are shock value. So when I met Janet, she throws me this ball. I'm like, wait, what? It's called a cooch ball? Really? It's called cooch ball? All right, what the actual F are you doing? What's going on?
The quick and dirty about my story is, you know, farm kid, small town Saskatchewan, Canada. You know, a town of 500 where if you didn't play every sport, your high school didn't have a team. You know, you grew up with the same people from story time. Actually, my husband and I, there's a picture of us. We were 3 years old sitting beside each other at our town library for story time. And now it's almost 28 years of marriage. And I grew up with big, huge gardens, lots of open space, everything fresh. You know, you helped out your neighbor. And we grew up believing that when you were sick, you went to the local doctor, he checked you out, you took your prescription and you walked across the street to the pharmacy, you got your prescription and you went to the prescription for 10 to 14 days and you were better. And so in my late high school years, I started getting a lot of digestive just discomfort and pain, and was very quickly chalked up to firstborn, high achiever. My dad had a lot of, you know, as a farmer, he would have Tums in his, within an arm's reach from anywhere he was. And so it was slightly just covered up as that, right? Fast forward into my university years, the pain became not just before, you know, a volleyball tournament or before an exam, but it became regular. So I started seeing a doctor. Fast forward 2 years into that, I was 21 years old and on 11 different medications every single day. And some medications on my grocery list of meds weren't even for my stomach issues. They were to counteract the side effects of those medications that were higher on the list. And I went to my doctor one day thinking we were going to try and figure out what is the next phase, like what's our plan going forward. And I sat down in her office and she very matter-of-factly, you know, had my file open and she looked at me and she said, listen, we had a discussion, you know, the doctors and specialists that have been working with you over the past 24 months. And we, at this point, believe that the pain is in your head and you're seeking attention and we wish you a nice life. And Kelly, she closed my file and like she went on to do more work. And I was sitting across from her and I was like, so I realized that's it. Like I didn't try and have more discussion. So
just so everybody knows, this is like, I just want to make everybody clear because some people are, our healthcare system sucks. Listen to socialized medicine. If you think our healthcare sucks, a lot of my friends are Canadian. I've been working in this world for 26 years, and a lot of our friends that do biological medicine are in Canada. And I think we have problems. Socialized medicine. Listen to what she just said.
Yeah.
Go back for just a second. And I feel for you, sister. I am so sorry that you were so like to have 24, we had a good discussion outside, which at first all of you are like, oh my God, that's so great.
Yes.
A bunch of doctors got together and thought about me. And then we decided that it's all in your head. Mm-hmm. Closing the chart and moving on. Bye-bye. You don't have a choice.
No. And so I made it to my vehicle and I lost it. I burst out crying. And right away there were three things that I wanted in my life more than anything. I wanted to marry my high school sweetheart. I wanted to be a mom. And I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. So one day I wanted to have my own business. And in that moment, I felt like that had all been taken away because how do you do that without a body that serves you to be able to, like, how would my body carry a baby for 40 weeks? How would my body deliver a baby? How could I raise a child when I couldn't even get in a bed in the morning to, you know, brush my own teeth and wash my own face because I was you know, doubled over in bed with pain. And so it was a dark 6 months. And what I know now is life is contrast. You need the darkness, right? You need the broken elbows to be able to experience the light, the lesson. And that was a lesson for me. I was actually, you know, I would pray at night, and I would ask, this is what I would ask God, what did I do to pull the short straw on this one? Like, I thought, what have I done? You know, trying to go back to like this life, what have I done over these past 21 years that elicits this, right? And just asking for an answer, just an answer. And that answer came one day. I was in the grocery store in the checkout aisle. You know how they have the magazine racks beside every checkout stand? And there was a fitness magazine with the Material Girl, Madonna herself, on the front. And for some reason, I just picked up that magazine. It had the word, there was a word on the cover of the magazine, and I thought it said pilates, right? That's how my brain read it. Later, I learned it was Pilates. So I was like, what's pilates, right? So I put the magazine in my cart, go home, didn't even put my groceries away, and was called to like open up this magazine. So I, you know how I realized right away, because they had the phonetic pronunciation in brackets. So I was like, Pilates, what is Pilates? And Kelly, I was reading that article over and over, and it was like words were jumping off the page, like words like heel, alignment, breath, spinal movements, medicine, movement is medicine. And I was like, what is this? And I was teaching fitness to pay for my tuition going through university, but I was like boot camping it, like cycling it. Like if that 20-pound sandbag on my lumbar spine while I was in plank didn't make me feel like I was going to break in half, load another 20 pounds on me. That's what I thought, is our body had to hurt. I shouldn't be able to easily wash my hair after arm day, or I had to kick it harder. And so the magazine photos showed people, it looked like yoga.
Just take a breath. All the people that have done HIIT, I was a rower, that's it. People have done CrossFit, like working the body so hard, because I think we all do this. Like I did growing up too, like, oh, in order to be healthy, I have to be super athletic, which means I got to be able to carry more, lift more, push more, pull more, be physically strong, which is a part of it. We got too extreme. And like you said, we learned no pain, no gain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And that, and don't get me wrong, like I love a good gym workout even to this day. But what I didn't realize was that there were these other systems in our body. So at that point, I believed our body was muscles and bones. And I knew about ligaments and tendons, right? But I did not know about fascia. I did not know about lymph. I did not understand that our body wasn't arm day and leg day. We weren't like potato head dolls that you would put on different arms or the big juicy lips for date night. That our body truly is a system of systems. So, you know, our skeletal system, when there is a lack of alignment, you better believe it's going to impact digestion, circulation, elimination, like all of these other pieces. And so I went to my first class, thought I would be a rock star Pilates student because I was a fitness trainer, and I could not even breathe with my diaphragm. I was in my peripheral vision. I was watching and listening to people in class breathe and move. And I was like, if I hadn't sat in the front row center, laid out my mat, I would have like exited stage right, because I was so humbled. Not embarrassed, but I was humbled by what is my body not doing? And that's where it all began. I lingered after class. My instructor walked up to me, did not know her. She wrapped her arms around me. I burst into tears, and all she said to me was, come back on Thursday. And I went back on Thursday, and I went back every Tuesday and Thursday after that. And Kelly, 4 months, almost to the day of my first Pilates class, I was off all 11 medications, had no idea how, but realized this. After all the years of looking outside of myself for healing, I missed something fundamental, that the healing was in here. I just needed to connect with it. And it wasn't like, it was a remembering. It wasn't like I was learning something new. I just had to remember. And that's when I was like, what is this form of movement? What is it about the body that I don't understand? And are there other people out there like me that have been dismissed? And what if I could help them? And I got certified in Pilates. I started teaching out of my home as a hobby. My husband got six or seven of his buddies. We did guys class twice a week. I got my friends. Some of my family members came. Two classes turned into four, turned into eight, turned into 16. And I was building a human resource consulting firm at the time. And my husband's like, Jana, I wish you could hear you when you're downstairs inspiring and teaching. This is your purpose. And if you can't realize it, I need to tell you, I will quit my corporate job. I will take over the consulting firm. You need to build a business around healing people. And that's what I did. I opened my first studio in 2010, expanded in 2015, built an integrated health therapies clinic along with the Pilates movement therapy team of 60 clinicians, administrators, and instructors. Sold that business about a year and a half ago, and 4 years ago, created the Cooch Ball, which came out of attending a Pilates conference with a urogynecologist from Nevada, Dr. Bruce Crawford. And it was, I call it a Jerry Maguire moment, Kelly, because he said at the beginning of his pre-conference session, he said, millions of times a year, women push a watermelon out of a straw, and we expect them to be in their skinny jeans, pushing their carriages with their babies the next week, because that's what we're told. That's what the Hollywood story is, right? And he said, one out of three women are dealing with some sort of pelvic floor dysfunction. They get no education about this coming in. He said, and then I see these women 10, 20, 30 years later in my surgery rooms. I am doing mesh pinup surgery for their pelvic floors. And then for most of them, 2 or 3 years later, they'll be back doing the same surgery because, again, we have not served them. We have not taught them. This is muscles. We live on a planet with gravity. Of course, things are going to start to drop. And he did a research study that completely changed my life that showed that in 90% of pelvic floor dysfunction cases, which could be incontinence, broken into stress incontinence where you might cough or sneeze or laugh and pee a little bit, urge incontinence where I don't have to go to the bathroom now, but in a nanosecond, I am running, undoing my pants as I'm making a beeline for the bathroom. It could be pelvic floor pain. It could be pain during intercourse. It could be low back pain. It could be constipation, cold, tingly feet, chronically tight hips, all these things we don't think about.
Symptoms of PMS. It could be mood disorders, hormonal disorders because of trapped pathogens and toxicants in the pelvic floor, not to mention scarification adhesions from having a baby.
Well, absolutely, right? And so, and I had to, like, he repeated it a few times, like 90% of pelvic floor dysfunction is actually not rooted in a medical diagnosis. It is rooted in poor breathing patterns, poor posture, fascial restriction, and poor pelvic floor fitness. And I was like, stop it. So if there's 10 women in a Pilates class with me at my studio, 9 of them I can actually help by teaching them how to breathe with their diaphragm, doing some fascial release, getting their spine moving, and helping them understand that a Kegel is not the way to strengthen your pelvic floor. And that's when there was like this fire lit inside of me. And I was like, I need a solution because I could teach people how to breathe. I could do the fascial release in their body. I could work on posture. But the other thing I knew about the body is that like a plant needs sunlight and water to thrive, muscle needs oxygen-rich, nutrient-rich blood. That's why we do the fascia work. That's why we might grab a tennis ball and roll out our foot when we have plantar fasciitis. We need blood flow. My challenge was, how do I bring blood flow to this beautiful cauldron of muscles in a way that works with pelvic floor physical therapy? Because you could go very simply to a pelvic floor physical therapist. They do internal release work if there's trigger points, allowing blood flow to come in. But I thought, I want something that I could use in my wheelhouse, right? I'm not a pelvic floor PT. I had pelvic floor PTs at my studio and wanted to work alongside them. And so the mom of three boys, I went downstairs to their toy box. I sat on every mini basketball, floor hockey ball, tennis ball. And let me tell you, it was like the Three Bears. Some were way too hard, way too soft. But I couldn't find a just right. Like I couldn't find that porridge being just right. Because here's what would happen. When a ball would be too hard, I could feel my sympathetic, the fight, flight, freeze. I could feel it just flip on like a light switch. Everything, I became guarded. My breath became labored. And I was like, okay, whoa, no thank you to that. And then if it was too squishy, there was just like, meh, there was really nothing going on there.
Not enough pressure to find what's happening to
exactly
bring awareness to where I'm holding my own tension and my traumas.
Exactly.
Then we bring the breath to that area of the awareness to release it. But if there's no pressure.
No. And that's what you need for fascia, right? You need heat and pressure.
You need pressure.
Yes.
You need pressure.
The perfect amount of stress on that part of the area. So that's literally how the cooch ball was born, was that I was looking for a solution to a problem that I couldn't find that already existed. And so I designed the ball. I found some really cool nylon. So what people don't see in the ball, it looks like, well, I'll just go to a department store, just buy a playground ball, right? But what they don't see is the three layers. So there's the rubberized bladder of the ball inside. And then on top of the bladder, what I've done is I've taken this really cool nylon thread. It's got some nice tensegrity to it. And we wrap the bladder of the ball in a really unique pattern. And then we put the outer layer on it so that you're going to notice mine's a little bit squishy. You want it to be a bit squishy just from a nervous system perspective. Okay.
A little squishy. It's like.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. And it's not unsafe if it's rock hard. It just, the nervous system might be like, no gracias, right? No, thank you. So you're going to get more impact with a little bit of squish to it. And so the first 1,000 units landed at my studio in January of 2020. I went to a Shark Tank type competition with the Home Shopping Network in Tampa at the end of January, took my cooch ball. There were 30 entrepreneurs, did my pitch, won the competition. Was supposed to go back to Tampa in April to meet with buyers, do a 8-minute little sample show. The gift of COVID lands mid-March. The world shuts down. I've got 1,000 of these damn balls in my Pilates studio. I'm like, what am I going to do with these now? And, you know, I'm like, okay, there's this new thing called Zoom. Maybe I'll do like this webinar. I've heard of these webinars. It's not a seminar, but it's a Zoom webinar. And I did a webinar and I sold out of all 1,000 units. And I was like, is happening here? I knew I was on to something because when I would teach my classes and the women in my class who knew me and liked me and trusted me, when they wouldn't make eye contact with me, when the energy became super weird, I realized that this is more than a fitness tool for your pelvic floor. And that's why I went there with the name. I was like, oh no, where I had a marketing firm, they're like, and they gave me a list of names like V ball for like vag ball and peri ball for perineum ball. And I'm like, oh no, we're going to go cooch all the way. We're going to shock and then we're going to giggle and then we're going to listen. That's what's going to happen. Right. And that's what happens. People will say, it's what? The cooch? Ha ha ha. Tell me more. Right. So that's exactly what's happened and how this little ball was birthed.
You are a delight and surprise on many levels. First of all, the visual of you down in your boy's room, sitting on all the balls, trying to find the right one, is such a kindred spirit. I so appreciate that story on many levels. And the amount of times my son rolls his eyes at his mother, who is just a little crazy, witchy, and always looking for some way to upgrade something about the fascia in the lip. It's such a bad word at our house. Like, so I was like, the fascia. Oh, let me guess. It's the lymphatics. I'm like, well, yep, it sure is. You know, I'm always like rolling on a ball or finding some way to unwind. Oh, I stubbed my toe. Let me unwind that. And it's such a way of life. And it's such a foundational way to live life. And then the other side of that is what I've learned as a body worker, as a practitioner, as a person dealing with chronic illness, chronic pain for clients. I see it as the human cage, the matrix that we find ourselves in. And that there's three cages. We have the chest cage, the neck cage, and the pelvic cage. And the pelvic cage is one that takes comedy. You must have a little comedy because it's so deep and serious and so sacred to our sovereignty, as is our heart, as is our mind. Yet as women, we have been tortured sexually in so many ways, whether that's from self-torture, from society, from actual sexual torture. And it's from people we know, it's from people we don't know, it's in surprise, and it is truly traumatic, and it gets trapped in the body. And the pelvic floor, like, I'm a licensed massage therapist, and we're told to not go there. We're like, who's going there? The pelvic floor specialists, of which there's 0.5% of the people. And then those people that have been sexually traumatized, do they want somebody else's hands going up somewhere where they've already not wanted somebody to go, or that's already in such deep pain and irritation that the thought of putting a tampon, which is much smaller than a finger, or their own finger is traumatic, let alone somebody else's hand. And so how do we really address this? And I've done a lot to open my pelvic floor. And then I birthed Silas and had to start all over. Like, okay, my pelvic floor is great. I can finally sit in Lotus. Knees are touching the ground. That only took 15 years. Great, I'm 39. Let me get pregnant. And then another 2 to 3 years before that knee went down again. And it was through, you know, then opening my scar, and then my hips got like it was this constant thing. Like, I would open up my neck and my hips, my neck and my hips, my jaw and my hips, and always having my chest part of the middle of that. Like, it's this cage. And this has brought such, as you say, great conversations. Like, I love pulling it out and being like, okay, what you're going to do now on my table, spread your legs. And they're like, huh? I'm like, just spread your legs. I'm going to put the cooch ball up in the cooch area. And they're like, what? I'm like, you know that taint area? It taint this and taint that. Here we go. Because we need to bring your attention to where you're holding. Because I can hold on the top of the pelvis. Well, these days I can't hold on the bottom too. But I can hold that area. I can do a sacral release. I can use my other tools, my RRT. I can use the blocks.
Yeah.
Getting to the pelvic bowl. And my good friend Katie Straykosh, who we've done podcasts with, she does yoni steams. Another great way to open this area up. Yet self-care over healthcare. And you need to do so much of this work at home and continue to do it. And this has brought such brevity and fun to this conversation. And practical solution of not just like, oh, I'm going to talk about it in clinic, but here, go online, get your cooch ball, and then freaking sit on it. That's your therapy. Sit on your freaking cooch. That's it. That's what you got to do. And you can even do it with the one arm. I will say, I used to do this on the floor. Not so easy these days right now. For the last 8 weeks, wasn't the easiest. But talk about the process of using it, what that's like, and how to go. I mean, I love that she knows people so well that she puts the instructions right on it. I've literally handed someone and they go, what do I do with it? I go, read.
Right there. Yeah. One piece that I like to add to this puzzle is the main nerve. So we really understand the pelvic floor is, you know, 16 muscles in 3 layers, and it looks like a hammock, right? It holds up our pelvic organs, the bladder, the uterus, the rectum. So I want to, there's also a nerve structure. The main nerve that runs from our brain to the pelvic floor area is called the pudendal nerve. And I also want to make a note that men, like everybody on this earth, has a pelvic floor. Kelly, can you just point to like the bottom of the pelvis, like the ischial tuberosities of those sit bones?
I would really love to, but I am one-handed, so I will do my
You're one-handed. Yeah. Okay, so look at the bottom of the photo, everybody. I'll just get them there. So those are your bony butt bones, okay? And then the pelvic floor basically sits within there. And then there's this nerve structure. Yes, perfect. I love it. I love that the paper is in your mouth. Okay, so pudendal nerve, main nerve that runs from the brain to the pelvic floor. Two major jobs. First one, motor nerve, meaning communication highway. So when do I contract? When do I relax? And there's communication going back and forth. Second job of the pudendal nerve is sensory. It's a sensory nerve. So all of the feelings from pain through to pleasure are also like that nerve's got a really big job. All right. This, what I'm going to share next, put so much into perspective for me about 2.5 years ago when I learned this. So the Latin root of the word pudendal means an area of ashamedness. And I was like,
what?
Yeah, it means an area of
ashamedness. Now that goes on the, I have a dictionary here for people to redefine or like 40 means from self in German. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
40 means from self. That's the root of the word in Germanic
language. See, and you know what? Like words, spelling, you can cast a spell on people just by the words we say, right? So
so predental is the name of the nerve?
Pudendal. So it's P-U-D-E-N-D-A-L and an area of ashamedness. So we should not be surprised in any way, shape, or form. We are birthed into this body with that part of our body having been encapsulated in shame.
Okay. And then we also know that the chin, right at the base of the chin and the jaw, also has to do with shame. And I've always said that, you know, the jaw and the pelvis, right, the psoas and the TMJ muscle is where the body holds a lot of the trauma. And it's also the two muscles that make us unique humans in the fact that how the muscular and those joints move to create an erect walking biped that can move their mouth in two directions to bite two different ways so we can be omnivores. And so, you know, this is so fascinating.
Yeah.
And that we've been shamed into this pelvic region, shamed into not opening it, shamed into not walking as a female. I mean, this is something I just learned in September was to walk in the S hook. My beautiful friend, Sandy Sembler and Sacred She with a K, Sacred, teaching us how to pull in that divinity just by putting one foot in front of the other and using that pelvis in a different way. And and it has brought up so much crap, which is part of the unwinding, which is the, you know, but it is just like being the youngest in an Irish Catholic family and feeling strong as a female is an oxymoron. Those two sentences. And it has been a learned behavior to be feminine and to be wild and strong and divine and soft and passionate and intense and pain and pleasure.
Yes. Yeah. And it's one of those, even if we think of like the chakra system and the location of the chakras, like that sacral chakra, if you are locked down energetically, and that's why I always say there's the physicality of the pelvic floor, there's the emotionality of the pelvic floor, and then there's the energetic and spirituality of the pelvic floor. And so, you know, that sacral chakra where it's, you know, sensuality and creativity, and when we're feeling stuck or just like we're not feeling like ourselves in our own skin, there's so much true magic, divine feminine magic to be unlocked. And, you know, I've had women, like I just had someone reach out to me yesterday and she said, she didn't say what curvature in her spine, her scoliosis was, but she has said she has never, her hips have never been level ever. Like she sees her chiro every week. And she said, Jan, I've been using my cooch ball like religiously for 3 months. And she's like, my chiropractor cannot believe how level my hips are. I had a woman last week reach out to me and said, I was scheduled for surgery. She had a bean-sized cyst on the inside of her vagina and they were ready to do surgery. And she said, you know what? I just want to try. I have this new tool, this cooch ball, and it's gone. Like her cyst is gone. She's like, how does that happen? And I'm like, because the body is meant to heal. When we give it its own internal medicine, when we're breathing and giving ourselves oxygen, when we're bringing that blood flow to, like, we are meant to heal. If 2000 years ago we healed or we died, right? Like that's basically as simple as it was. But now we are plagued with, like, did you see, you probably saw online yesterday that the American Heart Association, that study they published about the fasting over 8 hours, 91% higher rate of cardiovascular disease. Are you kidding me? That means that if we eat dinner at 6 p.m., we better get up at 2:30 in the morning to have a snack because that's longer than 8 hours, right? Like that's, and when we have all this noise being bombarding us, it's really hard to know. Yet it's not really hard to know, because once you start doing, like you said, the fascia work, the lymphatic work, it's this remembering, it's this knowing. You're going to be so in step with your body. And that's what the Cooch Ball helps you do. When you start releasing some of that emotionality and the energetics, like this beautiful, sparkly energetic, you are like dialed in. You are authentically you. You can have bad days, but know that there's lessons in those bad days or bad months. Or you can, you know, you can think to yourself, my kids don't want anything to do with me. Why is that? Or why is my husband sleeping across the bed from me? All of those situations, which would shatter a lot of women because we're coming from fear. When we're coming from love and abundance, those are moments, right? And as long as we can stay in our power and our energy, we are much more likely to figure that shit out because we are inner connected. There's my little soapbox.
I love your soapbox. It's my soapbox too. It's why we connected so well. So I have a question, but I just want to read. So what we know, what we've learned so far from Jana, who's got, oh my, the banana, to teach us that one, the pelvic floor is monumental in holding and trapping us if we feel stuck to open this up, that it's integral in our alignment. And as I mentioned, you want to be a human AI, then you must be aligned and integrated, and you've got to open up all the channels, which I call the cage, the neck, the chest, the belly, the abdomen, the pelvic floor. The belly and the pelvic floor go hand in hand. You got to get the diaphragm to expand so the and so the heart can open so you can speak your truth, and there's constant flow all the time, right? Fascia, lymph, oxygen, water, so energy can flow at the speed of light and sound. So we know there's also a lot of trauma and drama that's trapped in that. We know that we have been programmed to, on a societal level, deeply feel shame, right down to the meaning of the word, of the nerve that is so integral in both our pain and our pleasure, the foundation core of that word vibrationally that said to our bodies is one of ashamedness. So we are going to delight and surprise ourselves by calling it the Cooch area or the taint area and start to have a little brevity and lightness about this very fun area that also has watermelons coming out of straws.
Yeah. Yeah.
And can handle a lot. I would like you to share with my community, even though I talk about fascia a lot and lymph, I would like you and Jana, who will affectionately now be known as Jana Banana for me.
I love it.
Can you give your sense or your explanation of the fascia?
Yeah. So very simply from a systems approach, okay? So the way I like to talk about fascia is helping people understand that fascia is throughout our body like a web, right? Unlike a muscle that normally would start and end at a joint structure, fascia is not like that, right? So if we were to take a thread and use that as a metaphor for a muscular fiber, all right? Around that muscular fiber is this garbage bag type material called fascia. Okay, let's just imagine that, right? And then we've got 10 threads, and each of those threads has that garbage bag type material around it, and they're bundled, okay? And then the bundle has the garbage bag around it, and then there's more bundles that have the garbage bag around it, and we end up with
Russian doll of garbage bags is the fascia.
Exactly. That's what it is, and we end up with this structure that if we want to be super simple with it, it's kind of like marble cheese. Like if I, Kelly, if I had you over to my house and I had cheese cut up, marble cheese, and if you said to me, you know, I only want the mozzarella out of the marble, it's pretty damn hard for me. It would take me a little bit of time to take a little knife and cut all the mozzarella cheese out from the cheddar that makes the cheese marble, the cheddar and the mozzarella. Muscle and fascia are so intertwined like that. But here's the thing.
Canadian thing. I've never heard of marble cheese in my life, but I now need to go find marble cheese.
Okay.
I call myself a blockaholic and a cheeseaholic, but mostly goat and sheep cheese. I don't do a lot of cow.
Well, that is, it is cheap cheese.
I am fine. It's sheep mozzarella and sheep cheddar.
Cheap mozzarella and cheap cheddar together.
I'm sorry to be sidetracked here, but for those that know me, I am a cheese freak, and I have never heard of marble cheese in my life. And
marble cheese?
I'm side train today, and I'm going to Winnipeg this weekend. And I'm going
to yes,
marble cheese. Okay.
Go to Save-On, go to Safeway, get a block of marble cheese, a box of Ritz crackers, and you'll be super Canadian.
And to the point, like, just like the blinds behind you, so it goes in the other direction, and to try to take out just the mozzarella cheese, like the fascia, can't do it.
Totally, right? And they interact. What my point was is that they interact. Those two cheeses interact with each other. Here's the thing, though. They should interact in a way like if we were having fun one summer at a water slide park, muscle and fascia should glide upon each other, right? The reality is our poor posture, our lack of diaphragmatic breathing, our over-caffeination, our, you know, sleep habits, you know, this kind of stuff all the time. What it does is the fascia actually starts to freeze or adhere or stick like sticky, sticky Velcro to our muscle. That becomes a problem because now, remember a few minutes ago, oxygen-rich, nutrient-rich blood, which those threads, those muscle fibers need to flourish, the garbage bag material almost starts becoming like a boa constrictor snake, and it starts restricting more and more and more and more until those muscles inside are like, I can't live anymore. And then someone's like, oh, look at this. I've been diagnosed with frozen shoulder. How could that ever happen when they have like this velociraptor neck from their forward head posture, right? And I'm right. So that's how I like talking about fascia, is that it is this emotional, energetic, web-like structure that needs force and heat to be released. Like when I worked with our college football team when I lived, we live in Mexico now. So I moved from Canada to Mexico. We had this amazing epiphany, again, gift of COVID. Let's have an adventure. So when I was still back in Canada, I worked with our college football team. And we would do, I would blow these like 18 to 23 year old guys their mind. First of all, imagine these guys on a cooch ball. And then imagine helping them learn how they could access, like in a forward bend, we would do fascia work. We would do, you know, before and after. And the before would be like fingers barely at the height of their knees, right? Hamstrings tight, calves tight, that whole superficial back line really tight. We would work with the feet. You know, we would get, the cooch ball now has a little sister called the scooch ball, which is like a little fascia release tool, but we didn't have the scooch ball then. So I would use a Pilates pinky ball, and I would do footwork with them. We would work up the Achilles tendon into the calf because we know the calf is like the secondary heart muscle. And like literally 3 to 5 minutes after, they're like maybe not at the floor, but substantially, right? That's the power of fascia. You can stretch till the cows come home, but if that boa constrictor is hanging on for dear life, those muscle fibers inside never get to realize their full potential. And then fast forward, that becomes joint inflammation. That becomes all these itises, bursitis, tendonitis, and we chalk it up to both of, I mean, you just turned 50 this month. I turned 50 3 months ago. We chalk it up to those birthday candles. Well, aren't I supposed to be feeling this kind of stuff? I'm getting older.
Thank you for saying that. I am so tired of people and say, oh, it's because your age. Oh, you didn't, you know.
No.
No. Now I'm a 50-year-old that broke her elbow and dislocated her shoulder, was told she needs surgery. And I said, no, I do not.
No, exactly.
I'm an active person and I have a lot of wherewithal and a lot of community and a lot of tools. I take my balls, my blocks, and my vibrators, and I'm going to open my fascia up and I'm going to let my lymph pump and I'm going to get the oxygen where it wasn't going. So that the water and structure I'm going to glean out of this wonderful experience that's happened for me, the lesson I'm supposed to get, which is to slow my little freaking hiding down and to not make changes in my life for the first time in my freaking 50 years. And still for a freaking minute. It's a challenge. It was a challenge. And I have risen to the challenge to go, okay, I can sit down. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you have to, right? And I think that's what's so important to understand it. Like we said earlier, like the systems of the body interact with each other. So if we have, I call it duck posture. So if we stand, like just everybody today, watch the people around you, watch how they stand. I bet you 9 out of 10 of them will stand like a duck. Their feet will be turned out in the shape of a V. You better believe that if your bones are living out of alignment, your fascia is going to follow that misalignment. So all of a sudden now, instead of the fascia, you know, being this mesh that's like holding your bones in the right position, the fascia is going to get the memo being like, oh, this long leg bone, this femur, you mean it's supposed to be rotated externally like 45 degrees? I thought it was supposed to be 10 degrees. Okay, I'll go on that journey, right? And so all of a sudden now we go for our walks, or maybe we're, you know, it's spring now, we're getting into a running program. So we buy new shoes and a new pair of leggings and we start to run and our knees are like on fire in pain because every time we strike the sidewalk, we're absorbing 7 times our body weight in through a structure that is not in alignment, in through a fascial system that is like the shock absorber that is not doing its job. And we either do one or two things. We quit and think, see, Jana, I told you. How many times have you done this? You go on that hamster wheel. You're not good enough. You have too much weight on you, right? We start those voices come up, or the other voice of, I'm going to push through this. Damn it. This time I'm on that 5K. If it wrecks my knees for the rest of my life. And that
reinforces my patterns of dysfunction, and I'm going to overcome my dysfunction and I'm going to effort through it instead of listening.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, you've talked about the cages, like when we do not breathe diaphragmatically. So the diaphragm literally is the roof of our core. The pelvic floor is our floor, and the 4 abdominal muscles, the 6-pack on the outside called the rectus abs, the 2 sets of obliques, which make an X shape, the internal and external obliques, and then deepest to that, the transverse abs literally make the cylindrical 360 degrees of our core. When we simply are not breathing diaphragmatically like that newborn baby, our belly is rising and falling, the pelvic floor takes a cue from that muscle and says, okay, she's not really working, because you know what she's done? The body's so brilliant. The diaphragm has just reassigned its breathing work to the scalenes and the sternocleidomastoids, these little beef jerky strip muscles in our neck, which already have a job to hold our head on top of our spine. And now we wonder why we have low-grade headaches, why we have brain fog, why we have TMJ issues, why we can't wait for our acupuncturist or our myofascial release therapy, because we are, like, I think we breathe, what, 86,000 times a day, something like that. Or maybe it's 22,000 and our heart beats 86,000. One of the two. It's either 22,000 or 86,000. You're reassigning that here. And it is not if there will be pelvic floor dysfunction when diaphragmatic breathing is not really dialed in practice, or it's not if, it's when. Your pelvic floor is going to start to have issues when you stop breathing with your diaphragm.
And some of our colleagues consider that we've only evolved to use about 10% of our diaphragm, and that heart, Deanna Hansen in her book Unblocked, that's what I think she talks about, and I firmly agree with her. And that through Sound of Soul and heart rate variability that I've studied for 20 years, knowing that how we improve our regulation is through our breath and not the deep breathing, the act of like, which is a lot of chest and activity. It's more the conscious breath, the deeply aware breath of deeply finding where in my body is that adhesion? Where is that tension? What is that tension holding on to? Can I breathe into it? Can I connect with it? Can I release it through purely by awareness? Exhale it out through the throat as a continuous, connected from my pelvic floor to my solar plexus, to my chest, to my neck, all the way up my head, down to my toes, all the way up out to my fingers, as one breath circulates everywhere, structuring that water. So energy flows at the speed of light and sound, because all we are is light and sound frequency housed in this physical body. We are only conscious of about 10% of that. And I invite you all to become more deeply conscious, deeply aware of your feeling body, which is what we've discussed. We are not thinking beings that feel. We are feeling beings that think. And we must feel more, feel our pelvic floor, feel our heart, feel the pain, feel the tension, feel it. Don't suppress it. Feel it. Lean into it. Learn from it. Love it. Surrender to it. And on the other side is the pleasure, is the joy of living your dreams. So this journey of pain and illness and, you were 20. You just said you turned 50. When did you turn 50? When's your birthday?
On Christmas Eve, December 24th.
Oh, happy belated birthday. And so we're about a month apart. And now you're 50. I started this journey with a car accident when I was 20. And I feel like I found energy when I was 23 and been singing the same song ever since, getting better and better at singing the same song, breaking my leg, playing basketball, breaking my arm. About 30 years ago, I broke my leg. About 20 years ago, I broke my leg. 10 years ago, I broke my arm doing a obstacle course thing. And then this time, 10 years later, I broke my elbow. And the first time was breaking my back at 20. And so each time I'm like, I'm getting better and better at breaking bones and healing them faster and faster. And realizing that bone is just more dense fascia at this point. I agree, John Barnes, you're right. I give you that. You're right. And knowing that in the base of the pelvic floor is two of the largest lymphatic organs. If you're a woman, it's your ovaries. If it's a man, your prostate. Kelly Kennedy saying that. And this current assault we had to our organism was a man-made virus. We now know this. We know that the vaccine, the V that was created as a solution, in quotes, to the man-made, is particularly attacked this pelvic floor. It's the first thing that probably needs to be open, but the last thing people feel safe enough to open. That they first need to be in their hearts. What that means is they need to feel their bodies and feel their emotions and be able to process their emotions in their mind, because now I'm learning why, because it has been an assault of us feeling shamed over our pleasure zone that we have been spellbound to, that we are breaking free from. And that's what divinity is about.
Free. Yeah. Yeah. You know, can I tell you a funny story as we wrap here?
Yes, please.
So I had I've done a redesign on the Cooch ball, and the version you have is the co-branded Cooch and Gooch, right? Because men have pelvic floors too, and I decided that my main target is women, and so I took Cooch, and then I put the instructions on the back side of the ball, and so I got my manufacturer sent me the proof of the new design in August, and I can remember it very clearly because our middle son and I, we had a 30-hour road trip from Saskatoon to Saskatchewan to Jackson, Mississippi. He was moving into his first apartment. He was living on campus for the first 2 years of his college days. And so I remember looking at it in the vehicle, looking at the pricing, looking at the shipping and everything, and approving it. So then, gang, these balls arrive, 20,000 units of them. And I have the instructions here, right, as Kelly mentioned. So they're now on the back. So it should say, place the ball between your pubic bone and anus, sit on the ball daily for up to 3 minutes, breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth in a relaxed manner, right? This is what the ball actually says. And I like crumbled like a house of cards when I realized this, and I've accepted it. This is what it says. Place the ball between your pubic bone and anus. So when they moved, public bone instead of pubic bone. So when they moved, when my manufacturer moved the instructions, it auto-corrected pubic because that's not like, you know, an often used word to public. When I got the proof, I must have glazed over that, approved it. And so I am just owning this in a really big way. I can remember when I was in grade three and the public health nurse came to our school and the boys had to leave the room and the girls got to stay. And we got these little pamphlets about becoming a woman. And I was so excited to become a woman. I went home, sat down, ate my snack. My mom was making supper and I was reading this book. And as I was reading this book, every time there was the word pubic, my brain didn't see what my brain saw was public. So every time I kept reading the public area, my mom finally came and sat down beside me. I remember this. She put her hand on my lap and she said, "Jana, sweetie, there's nothing public about that area. Look at the word. There's no L. It's pubic, not public." And do you guys know when I saw this, I reverted to the 8-year-old version of me in grade three when I got that. So no, it's not the public bone. I know it's not the public bone.
That's your quantum entanglement, really.
Totally.
Allowing the healing of your pelvic floor to no longer feel shame, to bring this to all the way, stop feeling shame.
That's exactly it. And it is time to get public. It is time to change the conversation about this. Because if you're sitting with three friends, if there's four of you there, do you know that three of you around that table are suffering truly in silence? We would rather not tell our best friend because we are ashamed of what they might think of us. And guess what, ladies, it's time that we hit the unmute button about this part of our body and fall in love with it again, or maybe for the first time, and feel what happens when that moment comes.
Thank you so much for that gift. I find that the work that I facilitate is helping women and men feel vulnerable and safe at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I know that leading by example is what I've learned is allowed a lot of other people to follow. And so I've said this before on podcasts, I've said it in my room, and I'm happy to own it here and let every one of you know that I was raised in a very religious family, that I was very much told, much like Jana, I was not given the talk really to sit down. And when I did finally get my cycle, I felt very ashamed by it. I didn't want to talk about it with my friends. I didn't understand. I was a late bloomer. I was older than all my other friends when I lost my virginity. I did it out of pure frustration, not out of love. And had a lot of pain associated with that. When I then really got into a relationship with someone I loved, it took me 8 years to have an orgasm with another person. And I had practiced masturbating for 10 years prior to that. And I encourage you all to masturbate and touch your body and find how your body works, because everybody's unique. And no two women are ever going to masturbate the same. And here's another clue, by the way. The men love to help you masturbate. I've never met a man that said, "Wow, I've just, you know, been working with her pussy too long." Never, ever has a man ever said that.
Oh, my God.
So I love this. Lean into it and know that that's enjoyment for him as well. And to stop feeling shame and guilt over your enjoyment and to lean into it. Because when you give the pleasure of having an orgasm as a woman, the man receives it too. And whether, and if you're in a lesbian relationship, same thing. I did that too. We all love giving orgasms if we're really a lesbian. Men, I can't speak to that because I've never been there, done that. But I'm figuring it's probably similar for two men together, figuring, because it's about that innate organic wisdom within, which is what Wilhelm Reich, one of my great teachers and philosophers, taught me, is that it's about organ, which is created when we orgasm. Mm-hmm. And then it happens in the pelvic floor. And this is our creative center. This is our power that we harness, that we sometimes are afraid of the light. Sometimes we are afraid and we constrict and contract. And with my work, what I'm encouraging women to do, and I'm happy to teach classes to teach you to learn how to not contract your muscles and get tight when you orgasm. This is new for me too. I've been with Ayn for 27 years. God bless his soul. Married to him for 12. And you know, we've gone through a lot through our relationship, and learning to have an orgasm without constriction is new, and it's caused me to use my voice and express in a different way, and that's all new. And so I encourage you to always change how you're having it. And so I also want to let you know that after having Silas, it was very different having an orgasm, having to rehab my pelvic floor, having the urgency, having it since this has occurred. I've peed my pants 2 times in the last 8 weeks because under this, I wear very tight leggings. And 2 times I've felt like I had to go to the bathroom. I get over there, I get struggling with my arm because I have only one arm, and I got to pull my pants out. It's just not fast enough. And I peed my pants, and I'm okay with it. I told 2 of my staff members yesterday, Julie's sitting here going, I can't believe you're telling us this. Do you know you get hemorrhoids when you have a baby, more than likely, because you're pushing in that area? Nobody told me that. Like, these are things. Stop not talking about it. We all have the same parts. We all have the same issues. And when we start talking about the dark parts, it all becomes light and fun and joyful and experiential and allows us to connect at a deeper level with ourselves and our humanity and our divinity, of which we are in this humanity, and to stop being ashamed of the fact that you fail and the fact that you succeed. Be both, enjoy both.
Again, it's the contrast. How can you know the feeling of success when you haven't had the feeling of failure or loss, right? And what is the lesson? What is the lesson in that? It's not a 180 mind shift. It's just a little tweak, right? What is the lesson?
I call it a reframe.
I like it.
A reframe, because I want folks to reframe with the flow, fascia, lymph, oxygen, water, energy, and reframe how they view the body, reframe the system of the systems, as you so eloquently put it. And so how do they find their cooch gooch ball?
Well, we're going to get you a link, right?
Yes. I would love.
So there will be, I mean, on social media, either at the Cooch Ball, I'm on YouTube, I'm on TikTok. You know, you can DM me. I get lots of ladies DMing me because they don't want to publicly ask their questions. I'm totally cool with that. And what I want to do for your community, Kelly, so ladies, don't just go to coochball.com right away. Just hang tight, okay? I'm sure Kelly will put in the show notes a link, because what I'm going to do with her link is something special. So it'll be the Cooch Ball, and you get your pump, you get this little travel bag with it, and you get the Cooch Confident training system, basically. So it's the Cooch Confident training system with the Cooch Ball. And just because I love this woman so much and what she's doing for the planet, I want to add something called the Cooch Fix Pack Mini. So what this is, and you can't get this on my website. So what this is 3 30-minute workouts with me, essentially. And I call fascia release workout because it's you are working your body out in from the inside out. And so these 3 sessions are, one is how to use your Cooch Ball for upper body besides just pelvic floor. So I go through a really great breast health session. We do a little bit of work through the neck. We do a little bit of work through, you know, the shoulders. Then there's a lower body one. We work on the piriformis, which is this little band-aid type muscle in the glute, which 30% of you, your sciatic nerve runs through that muscle. So we want to make sure that muscle is nice and juicy. We're going to work on the psoas. We're going to work on the hamstrings, the calf. And then the third 30-minute session together is using your Cooch Ball actually as a gut health tool. So we're going to go work the ascending, the transverse, the descending. We're going to really get into how the diaphragm attaches underneath the ribs and start to really use that umbrella, open umbrella or mushroom cap muscle in a more impactful way. So I'm going to add that into your link, Kelly, so that when your community says yes, they get a lot of support to be able to use their Cooch Ball literally from a head to toe, you know, as a wellness tool.
Thank you very much for that. And I want you all to know this is why community is so important and why leaning into your heart is so important, because self-care, as you know, health over healthcare. I added up when I broke my arm, the tools that I had at my house and what it would cost for somebody to rehab a frozen, a dislocated shoulder and an elbow without using medicine. It was less than $2,500, and $1,500 of it was a Weber watch. It's really imperative that you just start to collect these tools. Mm-hmm. And that it's imperative that you learn from your community how to use them, because people like Jana and people like Deanna and people like myself and so many of our other colleagues, we're here to give you everything we know, because we want you to live heaven on earth like we do. We want you to enjoy this body that you live in and not suffer and understand what its language is. And that begins with boxes and balls and vibrators.
Vibrators.
To learn how your body really works, how to turn it on, how to turn off the pain receptors, because those are signals trying to bring your awareness to something, helping you to breathe in whatever it is that you didn't want to feel, to allow you the space to feel it. And I know how monumental your work is, Jana, and I'm so honored that you're giving that gift to my community, because I know that they will really feel that, they'll bring it in, they'll do it, and then they will teach others, because I'm truly gifted with a loyal community that really care about humanity and other people and really share the message. So thank you for that gift. And we all look forward to hearing your cooch ball stories.
I just want to leave one more little, I hope it's a little nugget, but when you can create a moment, when you can find a moment to take a deep breath or go get your feet on the ground, that's a moment, right? And then grabbing your water and hydrating your body is a moment. And, you know, getting on your cooch ball or getting on your block or, you know, listening to a podcast like this where you're, you know, taking the information, it becomes education, and then you get to transfer it as wisdom, is a moment. And that's the simple mathematical equation for momentum. We chase an outcome, but we miss the beautiful learning of the process and the lessons and the stumbles. And that's, I believe, I mean, you're seeing this in flesh right here with, you know, Kelly with her arm. You didn't hear her once, you know, cringe about why did this happen to me, or, you know, nothing with that kind of fear or victim mentality. Find your moments and acknowledge and celebrate your moments, because once you have multiple moments, that's when you have the momentum and you will not be the same again.
That is gold. Moments become momentum. That's gold.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your light and shining everywhere and continuing to show us more and more of your light. I look forward to hugging you again soon.
Yeah.
I look forward to everyone enjoying all of the wisdom that this moment can bring you from this point forward in your life. Thank you. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Flow. If you took something from today's show, please make sure you subscribe and share it with a friend. I want you to step away empowered, enlightened, and having an increase in value and your vibration, knowing that your body has the innate ability to heal so that you can attain true wellness. Thank you, and we'll see you on the next episode of Flow.